You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with the Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Carla Fox back to the show. Carla has spent many years as a shamanic practitioner in the Peruvian traditions. In March 2012, she discovered a new protocol through the Monroe Institute, which she calls quantum sphere healing. It has become the main healing modality that she uses with her clients. Carla's focus of service has shifted into the quantum realms, higher dimensions, and alternate realities, where much more can be seen, known, and worked with during a healing session. In addition to offering quantum sphere healing sessions, she also gives workshops where anyone can learn how to use this new healing protocol. You can find Carla on her websites at www.quantumstargate.com and her blog, which is excellent, at www.thecarlafoxblog.blogspot.com. That's a mouthful. So let's welcome Carla back to the show now. Hi, Carla. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Lance. I'm just thrilled to be back after our little snafu 3 months ago.
Oh, geez. Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes, that was awful, wasn't it?
Well, I think we jammed it all, you know, an hour's worth or 55 minutes worth into 35 minutes. So,
right.
We got some of it in there.
Yes. Well, we didn't have a lot of time to go into outer space, but tonight, with Don at the helm, I think we're really going to have quite a journey somewhere. I don't know where yet, but you'll know as the spirit moves you.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you know, I do a blog, and it's kind of a combination of my photography, my travels, and important insights that have come up for me. And so I generally don't write until I have something very important to say.
Right.
And, you know, a couple of weeks ago I wrote that post on Are We Being Mind Controlled?
Yes, that was excellent.
Yeah, and I got a lot of feedback on that, and I thought we would touch on that tonight.
Well, wonderful, because there's no question in my mind that we are, and we have been, probably for quite a long time.
Yeah, in fact, it looks like it's built into our DNA.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, to be mind-controlled. But, you know, a lot of the good stuff I write about on the blog I get during my launching journeys with my groups. And I just thought, you know, especially for new listeners, I would describe that process. I've taught several workshops where that's part of the workshop. And then I have a small group that meets at my house maybe once every 4 to 6 weeks, and we launch. And the process involves the person who is, we would say, the shaman, the person who's being launched, and then whoever else is in the group kind of sitting around in a circle. And basically the person being launched expands their fifth dimensional energy field, their core essence, and when they're fully expanded, the shaman further disconnects them from the body, and then the whole group kind of grabs that energy field and sends it off like we're launching a rocket.
Wow.
As far out as we can fling the person being launched. The launchee has to have an intent, and then you just kind of go with the flow and see what shows up. And gosh, you just never know. I mean, we go to all kinds of places. It's different every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And so a few weeks ago, my intent was to find out about this mind control business.
Mm.
And the way I decided on the intent was that, actually, I'd noticed for quite a while that certain scenes from my past would show up and kind of loop and they always involve some kind of a regret or embarrassment on my part, except they didn't have the emotion. It was just like watching a movie with the sound turned off and looping, looping through the certain scenes. And it was the same stuff all the time. And that's when I realized that there was some kind of mind controlling happening at that point. Yeah, mind control designed to make a person feel bad about themselves or judgmental about themselves. And I tell you, if you can do that to a person, that's a pretty powerful way of manipulating them.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, also, from my experience, I had a vision where the mind control techniques, which I learned were also used by the Catholic Church, were including an array of different types of categories of people that could influence whoever was emotionally available at that moment. So it was just a blanket broadcast that was going on, say, to influence people to do one thing, influence somebody else to do another. And it was covering quite a large array of different types of mind control techniques.
Well, and all that is off-planet generated and embedded in our DNA also.
Ah, okay. Yes, that would make sense.
Yeah. And the last workshop I taught was on the death rite process and mapping the pathway out of this fourth dimensional matrix and out of the universe. And I've come to the conclusion, and I've heard this from other sources too, that when you know, you hear from the near-death experience person that they approach the tunnel of light, and a lot of them do their life review, I think that's artificially programmed into us also. I don't think that's a necessity.
Right.
Yeah, because it's designed to stimulate self-judgment and regret and guilt.
Exactly. And then what sincere person is not going to feel that they could have done more? And so the inevitable decision comes to be made that they would happily return if they could improve upon things and make other people's lives better, including their own.
Right.
Oh,
and
of course I'll go back.
I
can do all these wonderful things. Yes, send me right now.
Well, and from a lecture I heard a YouTube that Robert Monroe gave before he passed over, he described the way we lose velocity and pick up baggage for every lifetime. And so we're actually doing the opposite. We're getting heavier and heavier each time we come back.
Yes, that makes sense too.
Yeah, so there really is no way we can improve on the previous experience. We're just going to pick up more heavy stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I knew there was a reason I stopped going to the gym. It just got too heavy for me.
Yeah. Well, and so anyhow, let me describe that that launching about the mind control program.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and so we went through the process. I had my intent, and I have to say, sometimes if the launchee doesn't have a real firm intent, you can just say, show me something I need to see, take me someplace I need to go. But in this case, I wanted to get to the bottom of this pattern, and I popped right into the DNA.
Oh,
right away. So that's
that's
a big clue right there. This is embedded in this patterning is embedded in the DNA. And then in the spaces between the parts of the DNA, you know, it's just like going into an atom and going between the neutrons and electrons of the atom. You know, there's like a quantum space in there. So I went in there, so I recognized right away, okay, it's a genetic pattern. That's where I am. And then I encountered several short gray ETs. They looked like they were sitting behind a desk. Now, the short grays are kind of like the troublemakers and the mercenaries. Mm-hmm. They hire out to do other ET races' dirty work. And they like to make a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. So they were sitting there, and I went past them, and this part, this was something I had not seen before, I encountered at least the face or the head of an insect ET.
Oh.
And it was not, I've seen praying mantises many times. In fact, every year I've got some, bushes and flowers and next to my front door, and every year I get at least one praying mantis in there.
Uh-huh.
The praying mantis head is very triangular,
mm-hmm.
you know, flat across the top and then down to a pointy chin, whereas this ET, the head was more of an oval-shaped.
Huh.
With these big buggy eyes and several antennas on its head. Now, I had not encountered that particular type of ET before.
Huh.
But when I look at the eyes, they were just split into these maybe eight-sided segments.
Uh-huh.
And it was just looking right at me, so I just kind of observed. I don't like to talk to these beings. I kind of observed that and made note that I was seeing something I'd never seen before.
Uh-huh.
And then went past that and encountered this very large honeycomb formation.
Huh.
Now, it looked like what you would find in a beehive.
Wow.
And that I have run across many, many times. It represents inserting people into those honeycombs so that everybody is the same shape, the same size, uniform, just like hatching out insects.
Wow. And
where the eggs had been laid into all these honeycombs.
Wow.
And I run across that sometimes working with clients. Hive mind, hive mentality. I run across that when I'm working with clients from large families.
Uh-huh.
Because as soon as you get more than, say, two parents and maybe three kids, it creates a group consciousness because it's easier for the parents. It's easier for the parents to manage a large number of children if they are all the same and all in a bunch.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
And it's very hard for someone who grew up in a large family to break out of that and be an individual. So that told me that the mind control program is trying to mold us all to be the same.
Mm.
And I was, you know, reflecting back on that now, I'm thinking of this 5G business.
Oh,
I think that's the motivation for that.
Oh, yes, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
We should probably delve into that just a bit
sure.
tonight, don't you think?
Yeah. So that was my journey. But the message after I kind of burst through that honeycomb, the message I got was that we all have the inborn right to critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that's a skill that humanity in general is losing very rapidly.
Yes, yes. Faster than we can blink an eye, practically.
Yeah, and I think it's something each one of us has to keep reminding ourselves. Don't believe whatever we hear or see. Reason it out for ourselves. And I like to think it's not too late for people to be able to do that. All we have to do is just remind ourselves. Think it out, reason it out, use your own inner radar, and just kind of revive critical thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would kind of go hand in hand with following your intuition as well, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
You know, having that gut feeling and then, you know, if you use that ability as empaths and people who are empathic do, then it becomes stronger, like working a muscle. But when you don't use it and you ignore it, it seems that those people are not quite as intuitive and as sharp with their observations.
Right. And I find that in addition to critical thinking, it's using your body consciousness to tell you. You know, your guts, your heart, your, you know, whatever, solar plexus. Mm-hmm. Because the body's connected to our consciousness pretty much directly.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the mind gets in there and starts to overly loop through something,
mm-hmm.
that's a matter of sabotage or even self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
When you let your mind rule, so body consciousness is very important.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the post I wrote about, oh my gosh, all the commercials on TV advertising different medications. You don't see that in other countries. This is the only country where you see that.
Wow.
And then the agenda, I'm sure, well, of course, to make money for the pharmaceutical companies. But
right.
To make us all think we have a disease, Lance.
Right.
That well, we need to be cured from something.
Yes, and just think how, you know, they're always saying, well, if you have any of these symptoms, go see your doctor right away.
Yes.
And I mean, they make it sound critical, like if you don't see your doctor, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really is that that kind of false programming and thinking that people fall prey to.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and so again, we have to just remind ourselves, don't pay any attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
What I did with the repetitive scenes is I just, and this pretty much took care of it, I have to say, whenever something like that starts up, and I tell you, since I've done this journey and had that realization, it's pretty rare now, but I just say, okay, it's mind programming, and then I just turn my attention to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that stops it in its tracks.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if anything, this kind of DNA programming is going to become even more acute because, well, one example is that Monsanto, one of our favorite companies in the world, mm-hmm. has just been bought out by Bayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Bayer was documented as having released injections that were for, I think it was hemophiliacs years ago, that had the HIV virus in it.
Oh.
And there were thousands, you know, tens of thousands of them that they let go, and they were, and it was discovered, and they had to admit that they knew it, and they had to pay a lot of money out, and they also said that they didn't want to lose the money from the, you know, selling these.
Yeah.
And so that tells you right there, if they'll do that kind of thing with a live HIV virus in an injectable, in in what do you call it, the vaccination, then what else are they capable of doing, and why would they want to change just because they got caught? They know they can pay off everybody. So,
well, and am I mistaken? Did Bayer have something to do with the Nazis and World War II?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, that's what
absolutely.
I thought.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of other companies did as well.
Yes.
I think IBM was involved, and, I mean, you could. There's a list as long as a telephone book.
Right.
And it's not generally common knowledge. You have to kind of dig for it, but over the years, as I've poked around in a matter of subjects, I found that a lot of things go back to the Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, many people know this already, that Project Paperclip was a program designed to bring them over here and use the their best brains. And it was the CIA that was involved with whitewashing their backgrounds, so that it wasn't known that they had come from Nazi Germany and that they were high officials. And they were given different credentials, and they were placed in top places of authority. One example is NASA. It was run by Carl, what's his name? I can't think of it now. But anyway, Wernher von Braun, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in fact, one of my guests lived near Wernher von Braun. She said he was the best-looking man she had ever seen in her life. And so, I mean, they probably did have rejuvenation combinations and all kinds of pharmaceuticals that they could use to, increase life and, enhance the life force of the body, where in general, most of us are being torn down by the very things that are supposed to make us, keep us alive.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I have a client over in Holland who works for a seed company. And he does the computer work where he's, you know, kind of running the equipment, if I'm remembering correctly, and you know, what gets shipped out, what gets packaged up by computer. And they just got bought out by Monsanto.
Oh, geez.
Actually, they bought, Monsanto bought them out, I think he told me, a year or two ago.
Wow.
So not only was Monsanto creating pesticides, but buying up seed companies.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That has a lot to do with the genetic modification.
Right.
Because there's a big push to have all seeds genetically modified. And the studies have shown that genetic modification, the food that's created by it, eventually destroys the vehicle that it's being fed to.
Mm-hmm.
Horses were one example. They were given genetically modified hay and corn and the rest, and some of them became so sick they were at the brink of death, and when the farmers stopped giving them the genetically modified food, they could return to life.
Yeah.
And we know now that most corn and wheat and soy is all genetically modified. So corn chips and corn puffs and corn this and that, and bread, all breads, you know, just about everything that you can think of, wheats, are genetically modified. And then you have all the people who are gluten intolerant. I think that might somehow connect to the genetic modification of the foods.
Well, the gluten deal, some time ago, a number of years ago, I tracked that one.
Ah, good.
And there is, you know, again, people don't realize how many off-planet or fourth-dimensional entities are involved in what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was when wheat was being domesticated, and again, you know, when you domesticate wheat, you're creating a standard grain of wheat that's like the next one, and this honeycomb effect, every, you know, they all look the same. And at that point, an entity jumped on this domestication process. Probably because a uniform type of a crop was being created. And I'm, you know, that to me is the origin of the gluten issue. I know it's gotten a lot worse lately, but with grains, that's why I stay away from wheat, barley, oats, and rye, because of the gluten issue, and also the amount of pesticides, especially for wheat, that they dump on the fields to ripen, you know, ripen the wheat at the end and dry the crop and kill the weeds. So when they harvest, they're getting pretty much all wheat. But also grains have a built-in natural toxin that the plant developed so that animals would not eat it. You know, in other words, animals wouldn't go in and eat all the wheat in a field. And so a lot of reasons not to eat any grain at all.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it was kind of surprising. The whole issue of chemtrails is still in the realm of a conspiracy theory for a lot of people. And for me, it's been a fact for about 20 years. And one of my guests even said that he won't even talk to anybody if they start blabbing about conspiracy theories. But the thing about that is that that these things are going on, and there's a great deal of aluminum, but then there's barium and a host of other things in these chemical trails that are being laid down over the skies in a number of cities and states and countries, which is basically global. And ironically, Monsanto has developed seeds that are immune to aluminum.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
I had not heard that. That's very interesting.
Yes, yes.
Well, and I think, too, that certain areas are being targeted more with that, in particular cities.
Mm-hmm.
Where I live, I've never seen any evidence of that, and I've heard the descriptions many times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why would they bother to spray in a very low population area, such as where I am? You know, they're going to target where most of the people are living.
Right, right.
You know, and that kind of brings us to this 5G business. I think the cities are going to get it first because it's going to be easier to do in cities. There are areas where I live where you can't get any cell phone service at all.
Thank goodness there's still some place there in the world where there aren't waves being blasted at us.
Yeah. You know, if you're in a canyon, certain mountainous areas, you can't get cell service. It's pretty common in our area for people not to be able to get computer service unless they put a satellite dish on their house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're talking about a lot of rural areas. I don't know how they're going to do the 5G in these kind of areas.
I don't know either. I've heard that they need to have antennas every 100 feet.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then that would mean a lot of people will be having to give up their property rights and have 5G antennas right in their backyards.
Well, you know what they would do? They would pay these people to put the antennas there.
Well, of course. Of course, there's always a bribe.
That's how that would go. We've got a lot of oil and gas in our county, in particular natural gas. And, you know, they just buy that right away from the rancher or the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to put the pipes in, and people are very happy to have that money.
Oh, yeah, right,
yeah.
Exactly. And part of the reason is because the money's been milked out of the whole country, in fact, the whole world, by the people at the top. And they know how to manipulate, money and how to keep it from us. And how to get us to work harder and faster and take more jobs on and so on. So that we don't have a lot of time to think about anything. We just have to work harder and faster and not necessarily smarter.
Well, that's where we get back to the critical thinking skills.
Right.
You know, and people being able to reason things out and look for alternatives and be empowered to say no when they really should be saying no.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I've thought about this too, and for me, the solution is, and this may not be doable for everybody, but it's all a matter of your vibration, Lance.
Uh-huh.
How clear you are and how high your vibration is, which of course is a byproduct of working your stuff, dropping the baggage, staying as healthy as you can. And I think vibrationally, we can rise above the 5G energy.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. And it also, there will be a lot of people caught in the net as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And
because,
that kind of goes to what I've talked about for years, the splitting of the worlds.
Oh, yes.
You know, there will be those who can manage it and rise above, and there will be those who can't. So it
right.
would be almost like we've got two versions of Earth at the same time.
Well, it sure seems like that now.
Well, yeah, it's been going on for quite a while. You know, we have to remember, Lance, we are not victims.
Right, right.
And
we operate that from choice.
Yeah, yes, and not only choice, but to recognize that whatever happens to us is part of our plan that has been created by our higher selves before we were even born.
Right, right.
So if it's something nasty or grisly or dying of cancer, whatever, that's part of our plan.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that certainly assuages a lot of fears and allays a lot of concerns.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand that more thoroughly or deeply.
Right, right. And then, of course, there's a matter of choice. Do we really have a choice? Do we not have a choice? From our perspective down here, we think we have to effort and struggle to make choices. And from a higher perspective, I firmly believe the choices have already been made for each one of us.
Right, right. But, you know, this, the 5G would involve massive choices of the population as a group to subject themselves to something that is extremely dangerous and which interrupts the frequencies, the natural frequencies.
Right.
I was just reading 11 reasons to be concerned of dangers of 5G, and ironically, what you said about DNA comes right, is the first one. It says DNA single and double strand breaks. Well, there it is right there. If your DNA is, you know, your single and double strands are breaking because of the 5G that's right in your own backyard and every 100 feet, then that seems to be something that you should be concerned about. There's oxidative damage, disruption of cell metabolism, increased blood-brain barrier permeability, melatonin reduction, disruption to brain glucose metabolism, and generation of stress proteins. And we know that stress is one of the ways that fear is created.
Right.
It's often a precursor to fear is stress. So these all seem like reasons that we would want to investigate. But, you know, it seems like not many people are really talking too much about it. And all we have are all these big companies that are just touting the miraculous nature of what's coming, the connection of everything, the devices that we have. They're all going to be tuned in to us and our needs and our desires, and that will be part of the stealth spying operations. And, you know, if something can be observing you, then it can also be programming you as well.
Well, and perhaps it's the next big lesson for humanity.
There you go.
There you go. To be subject to that, to learn what to do about it or not.
Right.
To allow us to be morphed into something different.
Yep.
I don't think humanity is a permanent fixture on the planet, Lance. I really don't.
You know, it sure doesn't seem that way.
No.
And it certainly doesn't seem that it's headed in that direction either.
Yeah. You know, considering the age of the planet, humanity is a fairly recent innovation here.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what was going on here before?
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I know there were ET races here.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book called Hybrid Humans by Daniela Fenton, and she talked about when the reptilians were here, they actually had a hand in creating the first, I guess you could call it hairy ape man. I don't know what else you would call it, you know, with genetic modifications. We are so genetically modified as it is to be the beings we are right now.
That's right.
So that's not a new thing.
No, it goes back hundreds of millions of years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about it, that something could be technologically advanced to the point that it could modify our DNA hundreds of millions of years ago,
mm-hmm.
well, what could happen in those intervening 100 million years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of manipulation, you know, by advanced races that are playing God.
Yeah.
Literally playing God.
Yeah. And I think that however the dinosaurs, that engineering that caused them to become extinct was to turn the focus onto mammals on the planet. Yeah, we're talking about very long history here.
Mm-hmm.
And where we go, you know, I know for me, this is, I'm doing everything, hopefully, the right way to make sure this is my last time on the planet. Because it's time to exit and try something else.
Right.
But I could see an ET race, you know, if humans don't make it, and we may be talking, you know, 100,000 years or so, if humans don't make it. something else will come here and live on this planet.
Well, that's pretty much assured, especially given the kind of environment that's being created, which is going to be inhabitable by humans pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much oxygen left in the air, and there's not much, in fact, there's not much nutritional value of any food that's bought in the stores, and the canned goods and the meats and all of that. There's almost no nutrition at all, you know, given the fact that the farming techniques have not changed for decades, and that the mass farming techniques uses the same soil that has been depleted of the minute elements that are necessary to be able to think more consciously, and that probably the food that we see in the store is basically lifeless.
Mm-hmm.
It's picked early because it's, you know, there's an advantage to getting it to the store while it's not rotting. And then there are chemicals sprayed on it and in it and all during its life. And then there's not enough protein and phytochemicals in the soil to feed the food. So, and the food's supposed to feed us. So people are actually almost like the Walking Dead. You can actually walk around and talk and be lifeless, basically, and have a very low level of consciousness. And I think that that's part of what's happening. We think that we're alive and we're going to our jobs and we're doing things and we seem like we're present, but the actual nutritive value of the food that we take in and the impressions that we take in and absorb is almost nil. So you're talking about zombies, basically. And that could be one reason why zombie movies are so popular, as well as vampire movies.
Yeah. Well, and this is where a person needs an active spiritual outlook and an active spiritual life.
Oh,
and
yes.
I don't necessarily mean meditating every day.
Right.
Because I don't agree with the kind of meditation that makes you go out of your body and blank out your mind.
Right.
I don't think that's very helpful. But a spiritual outlook and a way of living where we at least try to make conscious choices, you know,
right.
And that goes back to the critical thinking also, being aware. Although, you know, if we're talking about the splitting of the worlds here, like you said, there may be quite a few people who are past that point and not capable of doing it.
Correct.
I don't know what it would take to turn that around for folks.
Well, I wonder if it can be. According to, you know, the Russian mystic and philosopher G.I. Gurdjieff, most people are walking asleep, and they never wake up. And that it takes, you know, a certain percentage of people being asleep to create one conscious being on the planet. So we say that we're conscious and we're awake, and yet are we really awake and conscious in each moment? And I'd have to say for myself that I'm not. You know, there are lapses of being in the present, being in the now, that are quite long. One of them lasted about 7 years.
Oh, okay.
And it was a shock because I was shocked by something that happened to me at the beach, and I had this enormous realization as I looked up at the stars, and I was just horrified that for about 7 years I had really been like totally asleep, and the only reason I had could recognize it because in that moment I was awake, and it's such a sharp contrast to just living a routine and doing a daily living unconsciously that it really is quite different to be fully conscious and awake than it is to just live your life unconsciously, which most people do, bouncing around like billiard balls.
And interesting you should mention that, because I taught a workshop last weekend on journeying and the shamanic death rites, and I did have a student that fit what you're describing perfectly.
Oh.
And this student was not engaging either with the material or internally.
Huh.
And, like a zombie. I guess, you know, now that you're talking about it, that's what was going on there.
Yep.
I don't, generally the students who come to my classes are motivated and awake and alert.
Oh yeah.
And they're easy to teach. This person, it was kind of distressing to see that going on in class.
Oh yes, and it's quite a contrast, isn't it?
Oh yeah. I don't, like I said, I don't think I've had someone like that in a class ever. That was so disconnected internally,
yeah.
I guess is the best way I can explain it.
And
yeah.
When you walk around in the streets of New York or any large city and realize that most people are like that, it kind of gives you a perspective that is rather disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, and that's one of the jobs that I help my clients with, is to, and sometimes it takes a little bit of the rubber mallet or tough love.
You're right.
You know, because everyone needs to have an issue, and sometimes they come with the most nonsensical stuff, and I'm thinking, surely you've got something more compelling and distressing going on in your life that we can tackle. And occasionally I'll have a client who just cannot tune in to their life distress from that standpoint,
mm-hmm,
with passion
mm-hmm.
and engagement, and this is what I need to change. And man, but when I get someone who's passionately wanting to make a change, those are the ones who can make the big changes, because they are aware of what's going on in their life. And, you know, it's my job to clear the way and give them a boost, and off they go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the ones who are the zombies that they're very hard to work with, because they very difficult for them to come up with an issue.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that would make sense if you were part of a hive mind.
Yeah, yes.
And I think George Kavassalis has written several pieces or has talked about this extensively, that one of the big dangers that he saw coming was that there would be a push to force humanity into a hive mind.
Mm.
And when that happens, of course, any kind of thought that's independent would not be tolerated. And we've seen a lot of those frightening films about the future when, you know, mind control is in full operation, and that those people who are expressing their own thoughts are malcontents or discontents, and they're shoved off into a you know, somewhere, and you later on find out that they're ground up for food or something.
Yeah, I mean, remember that movie, Lance.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
We have to be careful, or we'll be on that plate for dinner for some interdimensional being.
Oh, dear me. Well, again, it's such an individual thing, and, you know, I know we're talking about generalities here, but basically it's up to each individual according to their capacity to be different and independent and individual. You know, I'm glad I live out west here, because you have more individualists here versus in a city. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're very fortunate to be out there.
Yeah. But again, the conversation we're having is not meant to reach the masses, Lance.
Correct.
It's for those who can hear what we're saying, and those who need a little bit of awakening here, hopefully, from today's conversation.
Right.
To get them back on the right track. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, because with critical thinking, I mean, you or I could probably look around and see the truth of what's going on in just about any kind of activity. And for me, about 90% of human activity is horrifying. You know, it's all motivated by corporate interests and subjugation of the will and marketing and mind control and the rest of it. And there's very little that has original content,
right,
or that isn't designed to make money for somebody.
Yeah, and it depends on how much you expose yourself to that, how much you're engaged with the medical establishment.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, and that's individual. Excuse me. I got a funny story to tell you.
Oh, good.
Kind of relating to this. I had an issue with a neighbor, and I had to write him a note and put it in his mailbox because he has a couple of fairly vicious dogs on his property.
Huh.
So I wrote him a note, and then he came over. We got it straightened out. He ended up finishing up his fence so his dogs wouldn't get in my yard. Well, he's a young guy, maybe 25, and I didn't realize this until I had this interaction with him. He said he never learned cursive in school. You know, when we were in school, it was called longhand. Never learned it and couldn't read part of my handwritten note.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Then I asked a friend of mine who's got a granddaughter in high school, and she says, yeah, they stopped teaching longhand in, like, third grade, they're all printing now.
Oh,
or doing
boy.
It on the computer.
Wow.
And that's been boggling my mind ever since, because even though you're only learning how to print, wouldn't you by osmosis be able to read a written word in longhand?
I would think so.
I would think so, too. So that really hit home with me as far as what they're doing with the educational system.
Oh, it's been completely dismantled.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, completely. And creative process has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the food. You know, the essence of the food with the phytochemicals and phytonutrients in it is gone. The food of my grandparents that was put on the plate is no longer available. It just isn't. It isn't.
Right.
You know, they grew their own food, and they had fields of corn and everything else you can imagine, and it was fresh, and my goodness, did it taste good. I never turned down a vegetable that came fresh from the garden. It was just mouth-wateringly tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really say that about the food you get at the grocery store, even the organic grocery stores.
Right. Well, and you and I are, you know, you and I are lucky enough to have had the foundation from conception of the healthier food, and I think that really makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And plus, we weren't raised on cell phones.
No.
And here we are, all of a sudden, now we're looking at 5G, you know, the homogenization of all things and the energy frequencies being blasted at us and at a rate that's going to joggle our cells and our vibrations internally. I mean, this is something that's horrifying to me, but, you know, you don't see people out in the streets with placards saying, stop 5G, stop 5G.
Well, but I think an individual can transcend that, Lance.
Well, we'd have to be able
to. I'm firmly convinced.
Yeah.
But that is not, again, something the general public can do.
Right, right.
But as individuals,
yes, right.
I think
right.
we can.
Right,
yeah.
I agree with you.
You know, for example, here I don't have Wi-Fi. I've got a landline and a desktop, and my cell phone is a Walmart flip phone for emergencies only.
Same here.
Okay. Yep. And I have heard from several people that are going back to landlines, and going back to like a track phone.
Oh, good.
Phone. Yeah.
I love my landline.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
You know, I had to have it for the radio, and
right.
And then all of a sudden, I was discovering that most of my guests didn't have one.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, you need to have a landline," or "There's a well, I don't have one." And I said, "Well, we can't. Cell phones don't really have the quality of transmission to give us a good digital recording on the radio, which is you know BBS radio." So. I was starting to see that nobody had a landline, and they'd have to go. They knew somebody on the other block that had one, and they could go over there and do the show. I said, okay, that's all right. You could do that.
Well, and I've heard plenty of guests on other shows who have been having the conversation from a hotel room because
right.
the hotel had a landline.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't see phones outside anymore either, pay phones.
That's true.
Well, you know, it'll be one of those things. It'll be a nostalgic look at the past,
yeah.
You know, for people 10 or 20 years from now. Remember when they had payphones?
Mm-hmm. Well, and a friend of mine, she heard somewhere that now they're thinking that cursive or longhand, they're going to call it a secret language because not everyone can read it.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious.
Oh
wow. Well, you know, in a sense, there is a secret language, and we're talking it right now.
Yes, we are.
Most people would not understand what we're talking about.
No, that's true.
That we'd be relegated to the insane asylum or a conspiracy theorist or whatever, you know, whatever label the
yeah.
mind control people have placed on us. And we'd be on the funny farm.
Yeah. Well,
and here we
I
are
come
on
to
the
that,
funny farm.
Yeah. Put all the evolutionary people in one place
right.
on the funny farm and see
that's
what
right.
happens.
Well, I'm guessing that a lot of those people who were quite bright and who were perceiving things that were actually real got sent to institutions and they were experimented
yeah.
on with, you know, brain electrical charges to the brain and. What did they used to do to psychiatric patients in the past when
oh,
they were
shock
so
treatment?
Yeah, shock treatments.
Or
yeah,
lobotomies. Yeah.
Oh God. Yes, lobotomies. Yes, I remember those.
Yeah.
Well, and of course Nazi Germany when they allegedly when they were doing all of their little fun things, they did all kinds of crazy things to people just as,
yeah.
to experiment.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people that were doing those experiments or responsible for them are here in America or have been, and they may have died in office, but they've had
yeah.
people replace them since because that's still a very, that's it, that whole movement is very alive. The war didn't end when Hitler was moved out of his bunker and taken to South America and continued to live. It continued on in America and around the world, and the Russians got some of the Project Paperclip people, and we got the bulk of them, and thinking, oh, what an asset that will be to have all of these people. Well, they just infiltrated and moved their people into positions, which now you can't tell who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, because they're all placed in such high positions that they're running the show.
Well, and it would be interesting to know how many medical and technical and scientific advances that we enjoy today
uh-huh.
are because of that experimentation during
well,
World
this
War
is II. True. This is true. I mean, you know, brilliant minds will go to all kinds of different places, and part of those places will be something that will be helpful for humanity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it can't all be bad.
Yeah, because we live in the realm of polarity. There's good and bad to every single thing, Lance.
Right, right.
Everything.
Right. Well, Carla, here we are just about at the end of the show. I'm surprised because it went by so quickly.
It did.
It seems like this was a 35-minute show that we did the last time.
But it does, doesn't it?
We actually have been talking for almost an hour,
yeah.
and we have about a minute
okay.
left. So I'm going to turn that over to you to
okay.
to close out with whatever you like. And
okay.
And I just want to thank you for coming back and just sharing your observations and wisdom with us.
Yeah, well, it's delightful, as always.
On
Thursday, I'm heading off to Turkey and Lebanon.
I'm finally
going to get to see Göbekli Tepe and Baalbek.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
oh, and you're going to take pictures and
yes.
Write about it?
I'm going to write about it. And
wonderful.
So people need to check the blog. If you go to my website, quantumstargate.com, all the information is there. And I am starting remote viewing training in December.
Oh, my gosh, that's incredible.
I've got some fun stuff coming
oh,
up.
Yes, Carly, you're cooking.
I am, and I'll definitely write about all of that on the blog.
Oh, I like your blog almost more than any other blog I ever read.
Oh,
and
you.
You and one other person, his blog is something that I just you know, I have to read it every time it comes out. But yours are particularly fascinating, and so I recommend to everybody to subscribe to it, because they're always just so full, chock full of stuff that you don't find anywhere else.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure.
So, just mention your blog again so that people can hear it in their mind's
eye.
Yeah,
it's thecarlafoxblog.blogspot.com.
Okay.
But if you go to quantumstargate.com, there's a link to the blog on the upper left of every page. Click on that. It'll take you right to the blog. And then on every page on the blog on the upper right, you can type in your email address and sign up to get my posts automatically by email.
Oh, wonderful.
That's,
you know, I just wish I lived closer to you, because it would be a thrill to do some of the things that you're doing there. It's so advanced and so wonderful. I just thank you for being on the planet and for, you know, guiding people so beautifully. You just do a wonderful job, Carla. I admire you greatly.
Oh, well... And I appreciate you having me on the show again, and it's always a pleasure, Lance. We always have such a good discussion.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to have you back when you come back from Turkey and
Göbekli
Tepe, however you say that.
Göbekli Tepe.
Gobble, Turkey Day.
I'm sure I will have a lot of insights into that cosmology.
Oh,
sure.
Yes. Well, I'll be looking for your blog on it.
Okay, very
All
good.
All right. Well, have a wonderful trip, Carla,
okay,
and
Lance.
Thanks for being here again. And we'll talk to you when you get back from your journey.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks a lot, and good night, everybody.